That is, I guess I didn't mean to put that other word there, but that's a part of it. Number four is serving. Worship is serving. And that involves work. Serving or working. And that's what we want to talk about tonight. Worship is serving and working. Man was designed by God. When God created man, man was designed to work. Man is to work. Physically, mentally, in order to be physically and mentally and emotionally and spiritually well, we need to work. We live in a day today where work is a four-letter word. Some people put more effort into getting out of work than they would just working. Man, if he doesn't have work to do, the old times used to say, help me out here. See if any of the kids in the first two rows can finish this statement. An idle mind is, any of the kids in the front know what the rest of that sentence is? An idle mind is what? The devil's mind, that's close. Us old timers know, because we heard it all the time growing up. People don't hear it today because it's common to have an idle mind 99.99% of the time. An idle mind is the devil's workshop. You think of that every time a kid says, I'm bored. I already heard it tonight when kids came in. I'm bored. You're living for the devil. You just don't know it. An idle mind is the devil's workshop. My dad was a child during the Great Depression. That was millions of years ago as far as these kids are concerned. I never did turn this on. Jeff's back there doing the hand signals. I thought he wanted me to steal second base. An idle mind is the devil's workshop. My dad grew up in the Depression, and he talks about my grandfather was one. An adult that worked hard, a hard-working man, a carpenter, even built a house, and then the Depression came, and they weren't able to live in that house. They had to stay living in the shack and rent out the house next door that he built, literally with his own hands. All of a sudden, there was no work. Literally, my grandfather spent some time in a mental institution because of what that did to him. Became a drunkard because he didn't have work to do. And if man doesn't work, has more effect on us than we realize. In fact, I'm convinced of this, that young people need two things, that our world is starting to see some of it, but they still don't quite get it. They need to spend some time outside just eating dirt. Huh? That's good for you. I just call it a probiotics treatment. Huh? That's what it is. Just go out and roll in the dirt for a while and learn to work. Not for any pay, just to work because there's work to be done. Man was designed to work. And part of our culture and laziness and rebellion and idleness. And I heard a statement the other day. It kind of shocked me at first. I thought, wow, this was not a Christian saying this. This was actually a sports announcer saying this. You can tell I'm real spiritual, can't you? He said, we are seeing the first generation. He's talking about the young people today. The first generation in the world's history that will not outlive their parents. Why would he say such a thing? Because we've become lazy sloths. That's what we are. I'm just telling you like it is. The world sees that. God's people don't see that, do they? But man was created to work. And serving is a part of worshiping God. The ministry. What is the ministry? We say it's the ministry. It's serving God and serving others. It's surrender. It's work. It's discipline. Keeping the body in subjection. I just read of these guys that are taking the ministry training. I'm going to read a book that I would highly recommend anybody to read. Everybody ought to read, but most people say, oh, that book sounds kind of scary to me. The book is called Disciplines of a Godly Man. Discipline sounds scary. It almost sounds like legalism. Now, I believe we ought to work, but it ought not to be just for the sake of work. It ought to be worship to God, and we'll get into that in just a minute. But the Bible Personally, I learned this as a young Christian, that my personal Bible and prayer time needs to involve exercise. You know what? When I get up, got saved, I realized I need to pray, I need to read my Bible. So I try to do it at nighttime. You know, you kneel down by your bed just like you're taught with your hands. Oh, you got to fold them just like this. Here's a church, there's a steeple, look inside, there's no people. You got to kneel down and pray by your bed and talk to the Lord and try to read your Bible. And you know what I do when it's bedtime, when I try to read and pray? We call it sacrilegion. I said, well, you got to get up early in the morning and read your Bible and pray. So I get up early in the morning, hit the snooze alarm 15 times, and finally roll out the side of the bed and same thing. You know what I learned? Get up and run about a mile and then read your Bible and then pray. You know what happens? You stay awake. Huh? Get out and lay in the wet grass in the early morning and do some push-ups and sit-ups. And you stay awake. So I learned in my early Christian life that part of my words, I need to do some physical activity to read my Bible and pray. And I still love to do that. Then I got a little lazy. I got actually out of Bible college. Believe it or not, I made it through Bible college without doing this. I learned to use caffeine to keep me awake. Sit down and have a cup of coffee with the Lord. That didn't do anything. Make you fat and lazy, but addicted to something that you shouldn't be. Well, we won't get on that. All right, that's enough of that. I like to spend time talking to the Lord, hiking, biking, kayaking, hunting, doing something. And by the way, or driving, working. A lot of things at work are just repetition. I had a pack of 3x5 cards. I memorized a lot of verses while I was working. Running a floor buffing machine. You got to be careful if you're not paying close attention. You hit a telephone cord. There goes a telephone. But I got the verse memorized though. And I learned to put together a lot of telephones after I was done with that. But you can do a lot of things while you're doing the mundane things. On the activity the other day, I just need to spend a little extra time talking to the Lord and listening to the Word of God. And I got on my bicycle and took off riding. I thought, well, I'm be a little bit while longer. I'm going to go a little farther than I want to. And then I got going. I thought, well, I think I'm going to ride my age today. I don't know how many miles. But then I thought, I don't bring enough energy along with it. By the way, there's something that will help you too. And I'm going to get on physical things tonight. And I don't want to do that. But God helped me a long time ago to learn to train my mind to see food as fuel instead of entertainment. You think of that for a while. I didn't bring any fuel with me, so I didn't have enough fuel, and I didn't know if I dare eat corn out of somebody's field or not. I don't dare do that in corn. I could find something to eat while I go over. But I better get back, and then I found out there's no gravel road. All the roads are gravel, and I got this little thing drives my family crazy. If I go somewhere, I just got this habit. I can't come back the same way I went. So I got to keep going until I find another different road. I'm not going to come back the same. I end up going, I don't know, 45 miles or something, but that didn't quite get my age. But I was hungry when I got back. I was running out of fuel. But anyway, that was just, I just needed some extra time praying and talking to the Lord and hearing the Word of God. Working on the building, cleaning, doing yard work, gardening, landscape, doing those kind of things, a great time to talk to the Lord. And doing something physical at the same time. I'm kind of getting sidetracked here. I didn't mean to, but I'm glad that I was raised by a working man. And some people use that terminology today. The working man, that's when a politician wants your vote. I'm doing this for the working man. No, you're doing that for the slugs that want to vote for you. But I'm glad that I was raised by a working man. I remember a few years before my dad passed away, he's in his 90s, and I remember taking him to a doctor appointment, and he got in trouble because he's had a pacemaker put in, and he's on so much blood thinner, if he cuts himself, he literally might bleed to death before I can get to a doctor, but he got in trouble for using a chainsaw that made his pacemaker go haywire. He said, you shouldn't be using a chainsaw. I said, Dad, you were probably on a ladder with that chainsaw too, weren't you? Well, I plead the fifth. but I'm glad that I was raised by a man that worked. And after he got saved, he never left the church that we grew up in, but tried to straighten them out in some ways. And they asked him to get on some different committees and things. And he had no use for committees. You wonder where I got it from. They'll sit around and talk about things all day that need to be done, and nothing ever gets done. And he got tired of doing the committee, and they had to do some work in the yard. And he said, I just left the committee meeting. I went home and got my tractor and came over and did all the work while they were still in there having their silly committee meeting. I'm glad I had a dad that taught me how to work and just do something that needs to be done. Well, let's see what God has to say about man was designed to work. Go back to Genesis chapter number 2. Genesis chapter number 2. And I want you to see man's work before the fall. You know, a lot of us are familiar with the second thing that I want to look at here quickly is man's work after the fall. But what about man's work before the fall? I thought when God created man, all he had to do is sit there and, you know, just sit back in his lazy chair and pick fruit off the tree and gorge himself and sit around and do nothing. Isn't that what God made man for? Just to sit around and talk to him all day and to do nothing else? Look at Genesis chapter number 2 and verse number 1. It says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. On the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. By the way, God is a God that works. I'm glad he's still a God that works. Still works in our lives today. And God rested on the seventh day. And again, we talked about that rest. Didn't mean he sat around and did nothing. And our rest on the seventh day is we redirect our efforts towards serving God and living for God instead of supplying for our own personal needs. We use it to work, to do God's work. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because that in it he had rested from all his work which he had created and made. And of course, it was a special day of fellowship. Still ought to be a special day of fellowship for God's people. Jump down to verse number 8. I'm going to read all that and we'll skip a little bit here. For the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight of the good for food, and tree of life also in the midst of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the river went through the Eden, the garden, from whence it was planted, and became into four heads. Oh, we're on verse number 9. He put man in that garden that he made. Jump down to verse number 15. That's what I'm looking for. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to do what? To dress it and to keep it. What's that mean? He was a gardener. He was a work in the garden. He was to take care of the garden. In verse number 16, the Lord God commanded a man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat, freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt die. And the Lord God said, it is not good for the man that he should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. In other words, God said in verse number 18, he needs more work to do. You need a honey-do list. You need a wife to say, oh, honey, did you do this? Did you? Oh, man was designed to work, right? And God created man in a perfect environment and still said, man needs something to do. He needs work to do. It's a part of our relationship with him. It's a part of our service to him. And we're familiar with chapter number 3 when the fall of man takes place and man's work after the fall. And by the way, he still was doing the same work, just like everything else in worship. He was still doing the same thing, but it was just a little bit more difficult now. Still doing the same work, but he had more obstacles now. In chapter number 3, in verse number 16, and unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow at conception, and sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now, talk about her workload. A woman was created to work harder than the man. She had to take care of him. And Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife and hast eaten the tree which I have commanded, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat thereof in the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return to the ground. For out of it thou wast taken, and dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. I'll just stop there for the sake of time. But man's work after the fall. Now his work got more difficult. Just like his communion with God got more difficult after the fall. But man was designed to work from the very beginning. And part of our worship with God is doing the work that he's called us to be. Now, with that, I want to jump to the New Testament and give you a couple things to think about here. Letter B, I want to encourage you to be a worship leader. Now, what do you think of when you hear the word worship leader? Huh? We're going to have a sign up tonight for worship leaders. Garrett's already got it in practice. Yeah, that's the way the world and carnal Christianity talks about worship leader, but it's a worship leader according to the Bible. They only see one small aspect of worship. And really, much of the worship in the Bible doesn't even include the music, which some people think that's all worship is. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. And we'll look at something in Ephesians in the book of Acts this evening. Ephesians chapter number 4. And beginning in verse number 11, and God gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. For the, what's that word? Work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Pastors, evangelists, prophets, teachers, apostles, he gave for the work of the ministry. And by the way, who's supposed to do the work of the ministry? Verse number 12. For the perfecting, the maturing of who? The saints. You mean St. Paul, St. Bartholomew, St. John, St. the saved people. We're to be involved in the work. The work of the ministry. The ministry is work. when I say this, we have a lot of folks today, and thank God for people that teach their young people to work, but sometimes we teach them just to work out of duty or to be recognized, to have a good name, or to compete with others. But we have to learn to work out of love for Jesus. I want to do it for Jesus, not for myself, not for my gain, not so I can earn some money, but I want to learn to work to please God. The ministry is work. The ministry is work. And I know some people think that a pastor only works one day a week, and some of us don't even do a good job on that one day. I don't know. But that's the mentality that some people have. But the ministry is work. Ministry means serving. It's most of the pastors I know are what they call bivocational. What's that mean? Actually, most of them I know are tri or quad or whatever vocational. Or do whatever it needs, whatever needs to be done, whatever we can to make ends meet. So to speak. The ministry is work. I want you to see that. And I want you to see something in Acts chapter number 15. Acts chapter number 15. In Acts 15, I want to go through all the chapter. I'm just going to point out a couple things in this great chapter. One of the pivotal chapters in the book of Acts. Or there's seven or eight of them. But after the first missionary journey, Barnabas and Saul reported back to the church in Jerusalem. They're on their way back to Antioch, their sending church, their home church. In verse number 1 through 21, there talks about their reporting to that church. And Pastor James, the author of the book of James, the brother of Jesus, was the moderator, the pastor of the church. Verse number 13, I see him as the pastor of that church in Jerusalem. And they decided what they're going to do is send out a letter of recommendation. They're going to send to Antioch, the home church of Barnabas and Saul, and Barnabas and Saul and Judas and Silas are going to deliver that letter. And verse number 26, I want you to notice a couple things in this chapter. Verse number 26, it singles out these men. It says, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, they weren't just sitting around doing nothing. They were risking their lives serving God. And Barnabas and Paul, I don't see them going out on deputation. I'm not against that. But they were able to. Paul was bivocational. What was his vocation? How did he support himself in the ministry? He made tents. He sent out extra prayer letters to try to raise more money. Now, he said, I know how to make tents. I can do that. We can get by.
I just got to find it. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. Paul talked about what it is to be in the ministry. Sounds real cheery and rosy. I will not be burdensome to you, he said, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but parents for the children. You understand how parents sacrifice for the children. They don't expect children to pay their own way. I expect them to feed themselves, to house themselves, to clothe themselves. The parents are there to do that. And then he makes this statement in 2 Corinthians 12, verse number 15, I think of often in the ministry. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. I'll give every ounce of energy I have for the ministry, for you. Sometimes I felt this, but I certainly can't say it with the Apostle Paul. The next part of that verse says, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. And certainly we can see that when he's dealing with the church in Corinth. But Paul and Barnabas now go back to their home church. In verse number 35, it talks about them going back to Antioch. In verse number 36 and 38, look at verse number 36. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas. Now they're back in Antioch, where Barnabas was the pastor and Paul was the assistant pastor until they left to go on the mission, their first mission journey, we call it. Now they've come back to their church and they got looking at each other one day and said, let us go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. And Paul thought it not good to take with him. Now, you know where this is going, don't you? But don't jump ahead of me. All right, I want you to see something before you get to what you're used to looking at here. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed not from them in Pamphylia, but went not with them to what? The work. John Mark said, you know, I guess I wasn't cut out to do this. I can't keep up with you guys. You guys walk too fast. You guys work too hard. I thought we were going to sit around and read the Bible and pray all day. I didn't know we had to do all this stuff. I didn't know we had to build tents to make money to support the ministry. I didn't know we had... And he quit. He gave up. And then, of course, they had that contention, which we're usually looking at that verse. I remember when I was first out of Bible college and came home to spend some time in my home church, thought we'd be there for a couple of years and ended up being there 6 years before God brought us here, and I remember going visiting with my pastor one Thursday night. And we went to the hospital, and I thought, you know, my pastor's an old man. I got to take it easy with him. You know, he's in his, man, by that time, I think he's probably about 60 years old. He's an old fuddy-duddy. Wait a minute. You sure you don't want me to drive, Pastor? You okay? And he drove and he pulled up the hospital and he goes and pushed the elevator button. We had to go to the fourth floor of the elevator. And the light went on. Nothing happened. He said, I don't have time for this. He walked over and started running up the steps. Not walking, running up the steps. I got up the first two flights and, oh my goodness, this old man's going faster than I can. I'm supposed to be the young one here. Sometimes I dare you to keep up to your pastor sometime physically. I took that challenge and I thought, wow, I need to take care of myself. There's a reason my pastor used to spend a lot of time walking in the morning for his prayer time. But I want tonight to enlist. I want you to enlist for our worship team. All right? Everyone want to be in a worship team? I want to play the bongos. Can I play the drums? Can I play the tambourine? Can I be up here and wave? And Garrett's already got that down. I think he already volunteered for that. I mean, we think of a worship team. Now, let's have a biblical worship. Man was created with the intention of working. Everything we see, he ought to be working. He ought to know how to work with his hands, to sweat, to work hard physically, to accomplish things. And by the way, we just lost a great worship leader. Jim DeLotel was a great worship leader. If there was a job to do, he'd just do it. And he wasn't doing it for any recognition. In fact, he'd get upset if you recognized him. In reality, between him and Brother Dick, the week before, I just keep thinking, we need some young people to step up to the plate. We need some young people to become worship leaders, to work. Well, but I've got a job. I've got this responsibility. I've got, you know, this to take care of and get involved in the work. You know, you notice over there, in fact, I even thought we should change that. When I came here, we did that attendance board over there, which I don't really care for attendance boards, but it was up there, so I thought, I didn't want to take it down to patch the holes in the wall, so we'll leave it up there. And most churches, you go in and they say Sunday school, and then what do they say? I don't want to put worship service up there. Worship is work. Worship isn't just coming and sitting and plopping down and going home and nothing happens. I thought, what kind of work are we doing at a worship service? And with a service, what kind of service are we doing? You know, you go to a service station. They don't call them that anymore. Remember when they used to have gas stations? They call them service stations? I remember we used to go to Rothamel's. That's the guy's name. We called him Smo, but not to his face, but Smo. And we're going to stop at Smo's to get some gas. And he'd come out. He'd clean your windshield. He'll check your oil. He'll check the battery. He'll check the air pressure. He'll do everything. I don't know. Check the kids. Make sure they don't need a popsicle. I wish he would have done that. But did everything. They called it a service station. Now, that's service. And it was service with a smile. Who is it? Texaco, they used to say? Somebody used it. Service with a smile. And now we come to church, and what do? Well, we sit and listen to this guy rant and rave up there, and we call it a service. And worship. So we haven't worshiped. We haven't done anything. We sat and were entertained. Like the kid that told his mom, after he was a little fidgety, like some kids are, right? He said his mom after the service, he says, you know what? When I grow up, I want to be the preacher. And I said, oh, you do? Well, maybe he's been listening more than I thought he was. He said, yeah, I want to be the preacher when I get up. I said, well, why is that, son? Has God been speaking to your heart? He said, no. You over here pinching me every time I misbehave, and Dad's over there sleeping, and some of you guys over there sawing logs, and they're not doing nothing. Looks like the only guy that's enjoying himself is that guy up there yelling and screaming. That's what I want to do. I want to have to sit still and get in trouble all the time. I want to get up there. I want to do something. In reality, we ought to want to do something. And we ought to want to see what we can do. What can we do for the service of the Lord? Worship is work. Serving is working. Serving the Lord. We say, well, I serve the Lord. What are we doing for Him? What can I do to help? You know, this week we've had a lot to do around here, the last couple of weeks. And I said, what can I do to help? Preacher, you really want to know? I could have called you yesterday to clean the gutters out of the building. You know, it rained yesterday and the water was kind of overflowing. I wonder who would have got up and done that. And I'm getting to something here. I would let you get up there and do that. And I just thought, this might be a good time to cover this. We need a worship team is what we need. Well, I can do some things. I thought, I didn't get to do the mowing because the rain came. And then I saw the gutters needed to be cleaned. So I did that instead. And that was more fun to do in the rain than mowing. And again, I don't want to make it complicated. You know, we have a sign up. Well, if I can do it on such and such a time, well, if I see something to do, in fact, I would just say, let me know tonight if you want to be on our worship team, all right? We're going to start a worship team. I say, okay, today, hey, in a half hour, can you come and do this? And I'll text you, all right? I don't know. Can I figure out how to text? I think I can figure out how to text people. Well, that's not... Hey, that's okay. If you can't do it, that's all right. But if you're available and you got a few moments, and that's what the ministry is, it's unannounced. It's things that have to be done, things that come up. There's some cleaning that had to... A lot of extra cleaning that had to be done this week. And I said, well, who am I going to call to do it? Folks that can't do it. And we'd have folks that just say, you know what? I can do that. I'll just text you and say... Hey, we got this to do. If you can do it, come. If not, that's all right. Well, who did clean the gutters? My wife went up there. I held the ladder for her. I gave her the trowel to get up there. tomorrow she's got to mow. So if somebody wants to come and help do that. Set up for a special event, cleaning the building. I thank the Lord for those that are cleaning the building. But with extra things going on, the building had to be cleaned a few times this week. And just things like that. And it needs to be done right. Just say, well, I'll just come in and sneak in and do this, and chances are I'll have to redo it when you're done. But thanks for helping anyways. But to work alongside, say, there's something I can do. What can I do? And again, Brother Rex asked if he could help. I was going to call you and ask you to climb the ladder and go clean up the gutters. Right? I'll hold the rope. Wouldn't that be funny if I had the rope on the other side of the building and he slipped and fell and I was holding the rope? I wonder how far. I think I would go about two blocks. Don't you? There he goes. He launched. He orbited the moon. The cow, the pastor that jumped over the moon. The cow that jumped over the moon or something. And this, you know, there's something, well, I'm not qualified to do that. Figure it out. that's a part of the ministry. That's a part of doing things. Sometimes in days like this, I wish it would come sooner. We're going to have some snow to shovel. And I don't mind doing that, but it's kind of like I need to sleep sometime too. You can say, well, I can do that. Pastor, yeah, call me. Let me know. And by the way, we need some young people. Teenagers. Say, I could do that. Give me a call. And let me know. Let's have a worship team. All right? Let's just have a... let me know. Well, I can be there in a moment's notice. I can be there in an hour, half hour. We got this coming in. Can you come and help with this? Sure, I'll be there. And if you can't be there, I understand. That's fine. We'll take care of it. But the ministry is work. There's work to be done. There's a lot to be done. And man was created to work. And minister worship involves work, serving the Lord. We say we're serving the Lord. Are we really serving, or are we being served? Are we really in the work of the Lord, or are we just a bystander, or just a follower? There's a lot of work that gets done here, and a lot of folks volunteer a lot of time, and that's a part of worship. Brother Rex is, can I tell folks that you told me? Another church. And it's not uncommon. I grew up in a church like that. In most communities, or small town churches especially, they're usually run by a couple of ladies, the town gossips. I think it was you that was telling me. You're looking at me funny, like maybe it was somebody else that told me. I think it was you that, he's going to be our treasurer. He's going to be our new Judas. Judas was a treasurer, wasn't he? He was talking about a church that he was getting involved in, and I said, preaching time started, and they said, well, you want to come with me? Preaching time starting now. We're going to go pay the bills. Wait a minute. that's worship, right? You're working, right? Not during the preaching time. And sometimes when we have a dinner, and I grew up in a church like this, we have a dinner, and some folks like to do this here, and I'm trying to put a stop to that when we have our Thanksgiving meal. Folks say, well, I can't be in church because I got to be down there preparing the meal. Hey, my wife does a great job cooking a great Sunday meal every Sunday. But she doesn't have to skip church to go do it. And it's done when I get home. Not as much now that the kids aren't there. I don't get as many leftovers. You don't have to pinch out in some things to do. But there's a lot of work to be done. And a part of our worship is serving the Lord, getting involved in the work. And a lot of things, you can find simple ways to do it, easy ways to do it. I like what a football coach used to say, just kiss, keep it simple, stupid. It doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be difficult. And some people have that spiritual gift, I understand, to make things complicated. But it doesn't have to be complicated. It can be simple. You can get it done. It just takes somebody to say, I can do that. I can handle that. And have that spirit of, I can work. I can do something for God. That's a part of our worship for the Lord, serving Him, serving others, working for others. Worship is a transformation that God does in our life. And we let Him change our life. It's communion with God. It's giving to God. It's serving God, working for God. Father, we pray.